I want you to take your Bible this evening and I want you to turn to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter number 12. Acts chapter 12. Once you find Acts 12, I want you to look up here at me for just a second. The title of the sermon tonight is this. It's called Reasons Why People End Up Out of the Ministry. Now, this is not a sermon in regard to what we might call people that are full-time pastors, evangelists, or missionaries, although they could, and we could certainly learn from it. But you know, there are people in here, you're very involved in the ministry of the church. But there are a lot of people that at one point in their life, they were very involved in the ministry of the church. And then there comes a moment where they find themselves uninvolved. And if you will, there's a way to attend church, but not be involved in the ministry of the church. And I want you to listen, and I'm going to make some observations. I was called to preach when I was a 16-year-old boy. I've been doing it for a long time, and I've watched churches, and I've watched the things that hinder people. And tonight, by way of observation, I'm going to show you, and I'm going to mention some things. They'll be very down-to-earth. They'll be very practical. But I want to warn you not to let yourself get out of the ministry. And again, like I said, I'm not talking about some evangelist that gets out of the ministry. I'm talking about you and me right here in our church who are involved in the ministry. But if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves uninvolved and maybe out of church altogether. Acts chapter 12, find verse number 25 and then stand with me, if you will, real quick. Acts chapter 12, look at verse number 25. The Bible says this, "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark." Now, go to verse number 7 of chapter 13. And the Bible says, "Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." And let's pray. Father, help us tonight. Lord, help us just to be warned that we don't stop serving you and we become inactive in the ministry of the church, not just a church attendance, Father, but our activity, our service. I pray, God, tonight that you would help me as I try to explain in simple terms those things that will hinder us from being servants of God in weeks or months or years to come, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. If you were listening to what was read, when I read to you from Acts chapter 12, verse number 25, you see a trio of men who were serving God together. It was Barnabas and Saul, or Paul, if you will, and a guy by the name of John Mark. They were on a missionary journey or an evangelistic campaign, or they were serving God together. They ended up on an island that's called the Isle of Paphos, P-H-P-H-O-S. P-A-P-H-O-S is how you spell it. And they met up with a sorcerer. His name was Elymas. And he opposed them, and we just read the story. God ends up using Paul, and this sorcerer is smitten with blindness. And then at the conclusion of the process, the Bible says that when it's all over with, John Mark, he ends up going back home to Jerusalem. Now, Paul and Barnabas, they went on serving the Lord. And basically what happened at that point, John Mark, he quit. You say, why? Well, I'm not going to be able to tell you exactly why John Mark quit at that point and went home, but he had been serving God. He was involved in the ministry, and then all of a sudden something happened, and at the conclusion of this story with the sorcerer, he goes home. I'm not trying to be mean to him, but he went home to mama. Now, why? Why did he quit? Well, he faced some opposition there. They did just deal with the sorcerer, but God took care of it. God dealt with it, and God made sure that it was handled. But he did quit. And folks, through the years, I've watched a lot of good people that were busy serving God. I've watched them get off track. I've watched people that are on fire for God. Boy, I've watched Sunday school teachers and bus workers and nursery workers and people deeply involved in soul winning. I've watched them get off track. And then before long, they're doing nothing for God. And I've even watched some that not only are they doing nothing for God, they're not even come to church anymore. They're so far off track. And I realize there's a lot of words to describe it, some backsliding that takes place. But I want to talk to you about some very simple things that you need to be cautious of. If you're active in the church and you're serving God right now, I'm going to tell you some things. If you'll watch these things, you could still be serving God in 10 years or 20 years or 30 years. And our whole goal ought to be that we serve God till the day Jesus comes back. And so, you know, as you get older, you might not be able to do all that you once could, but if you're alive, you're still to be serving Him. You're still to be serving Him. Now, I'm just going to make some observations for you. I don't think it'll take a long time, but if you'll hear me out and you'll listen, you could find yourself continuing to serve God in years to come. Why do people quit? Why do people end up inactive in regard to their ministry? First of all, I think it happens because if you do not keep a strong personal walk with God, sooner or later, you'll stop serving Him like you're supposed to. So, it's your walk with God. You say, what do you mean by a walk with God? I don't want you to be so busy serving Him that you're not close to Him. You say, well, preacher, how do you get close to Him? It's some of those same old things that I'm constantly harping about. You have to read your Bible. You need to read your Bible. You say, well, I've read it through many times. You need to read your Bible. Now, there are people in here, you love the Lord and you're busy serving God, but I got to tell you something. God never intended for you to be busy serving Him, but not taking the time to be close to Him. And one of the ways you're close to Him is you let Him talk to you through His Word. I do not know why it is. I have surpassed 40 years of being been called of God, and I'm still in the ministry. But it would probably have something to do with, even in the worst parts of my life, I kept opening up my Bible. Hey, the days I didn't want to, I opened up my Bible and I tried to keep reading the Bible. And you say, explain it. I don't know that I can explain it. I just know that there's power in the Word of God. And if you want to have a relationship with God, you're going to need to read your Bible. There are people in here, you would almost consider you maybe a very stable person in the church, or a patriarch in the church, or an important person in the church. But I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter how important you think you are. If you're not in your Bible, you probably won't be that important person in days to come. Because if you're going to continue to serve God, you've got to have a walk with God, which includes reading your Bible. Not only that, you're going to need to pray. And I'm talking about more than saying a quick prayer over your bowl of Fruit Loops in the morning. You need to establish a prayer life. And there's no shortcut to it, folks. And I wish I could give you some big theological explanation about how to stay active for God, but it's really not difficult. You need to read your Bible and you need to pray because you need strength. And listen, if you're a person that has a lot of character, you may keep going for a while without reading your Bible or praying, but sooner or later that thing's going to catch up with you and you're going to fall flat on your face. Hey, listen, and I don't mean this to be rude. You will
sooner or later, spiritually, be exposed for being weak and disconnected with God. Sooner or later, it's going to catch up with you. You see, you need strength. You say, how am I going to get it? You stay in your Bible and you stay on your knees. Folks, be close to God. Let me ask you a question. Are you? Are you close to God? Or is church just a game? Just something you do? You know, there really is a God. This really is His Word. He really does want you to pray. I think sometimes we get to live in our life and we do a bunch of things for God, but we become distanced from God. And I say to you, if you want to still be serving God in the future, you're going to have to take seriously the basics. Keep yourself in your Bible. Keep yourself on your knees. Secondly, let me warn you, I've watched many people that are active and successful and serving God and doing something good for God, but because they do not handle their money or their finances right, they end up getting off track. You say, how so? Good people. Very good people. Matter of fact, I've watched people that I was so brokenhearted and saddened when they got off track. They were necessary. They were doing something. They were important. But they just didn't handle their money right. And we live in a society where it's going to take some dollars to keep yourself going. Bad spending. I have watched people that were serving God and serving God well, but they start making bad decisions with their money and they spend their money unwisely and they don't show self-control with their money. And before long, they get off track. You say, how so? Well, sometimes they spend more than what they ought to spend, and so before long, they're not working 40 hours a week to pay their bills, but they're working 50, and then 60, and then 70, and they used to come to church Wednesday night, and then Sunday night, and Sunday morning, and now they can't anymore. Bet they're people of character, and they're going to represent God well by paying their bills on time, but they never come to church. I don't think God intended for anybody to get themselves in such a financial pickle that couldn't come to church. I think, though we don't like it, we might be better off having less but being in church than having more and being out of church. And let me warn you. God tells you to tithe. And then in the book of Malachi, He says, if you don't, He said, there's a thing called the devourer. You say, what is that? That's where, if you don't tithe, what you have will start, it'll be eliminated to where you won't have it anymore because you weren't doing right by God. That'll catch up to you. You say, well, I haven't been tithing and I'm fine so far. So far. Matter of fact, you're not fine. You are not fine. You're lying to yourself. But that'll catch up to you. So listen, bad spending, not tithing. A lust of money. I have a friend. I love him very, very dearly. He grew up very poor. And in growing up, I remember him saying to me, he said, one of these days, I'm not going to struggle anymore. One of these days. And you know what? He loved the Lord and he served God. And then he started building businesses and he started working. And I got to tell you something. He had such a passion not to be poor that to make money was everything to him, and before long, he wasn't coming to church anymore, and he wasn't coming to church, and he wasn't. Everything rotated around money. Everything. Everything. Every decision, it was all money, money, money. Did you know all your decisions are to rotate around God's will, not money? But because he grew up poor, he had such a distaste for that poverty, he said, I'm never going to let that happen to me. I'm never going to let that happen to my kids. Did you know something? You don't have to be poor, and you can make money and still serve God. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're not careful, you'll become passionate about making money, and before long, making money is more important to you than serving God. And I've watched very good people. I'm talking about people with character. I'm talking about people that they were hard workers. I've watched that get out of control, and before long, they ended up having a lust for money. And they stop serving God. Don't let that happen to you. So, you better keep a personal walk with God and you better keep it strong. Stay in your Bible. Stay on your knees. Watch your finances. Don't overspend. Don't love money so much that, hey, there's some people it doesn't bother them at all to miss church because they're going to go make a few bucks. You want to be careful. You better be careful not tithing. You better be careful. You know, the Bible says that not tithing is robbing God. And whether you think it or not, that's a dangerous thing to do. Make good financial decisions. Let me tell you all something. I'm not as old as some of you. There's some of you that have far more wisdom than what I would have. I've been around just long enough to know this. The economy right now is booming. But it won't stay that way. It'll go down again. Say, then what? Then it'll go up again. And then it'll go down again. Can I recommend that you're careful what you do while the economy's strong? Because it will change. And you just remember that. You say, does it matter who's in the White House? Really not that much. It'll go up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. By the way, that's why you handle your finances too. You work at it and then you don't work at it. And you work at it and then you don't work at it. And you work at it and you don't work at it. It's just kind of the way things are. But there are all sorts of people that do not serve God today because they don't handle their money properly. They don't handle money in general properly. Don't let that happen to you. Let me go on. Thirdly, I think I've watched some very good people that serve God that wanted to stay involved. They just didn't handle things with their personal family right. And as a result of it, they found themselves no longer serving God. For instance, I would recommend, you know, while your parents, while you're busy having a strong walk with God, teach your children to have a walk with God. And young people, if mom and dad love the Lord, that's not enough for you. You need to love the Lord too. It's a wonderful thing that a family serves God together. It's a wonderful thing that a family goes to church together. But it happens. I've watched people, they don't attend to their family relationships like they ought to. And when they don't attend to those family relationships like they ought to, somehow the devil gets in that thing. And before long, we're not in church, we're not serving God. Hey, listen, I would say to everybody in here, work at keeping your family close to you and close to the Lord. Husbands, stay close to your wife so the two of you can serve God together. Wives, stay close to your husband, and that way you can serve the Lord together. Parents, stay close to your children. That way you can serve the Lord together. Let's not let this thing fall apart. Stay close to one another. Love one another. Be patient and kind and good to one another. Every once in a while, you just need to tell somebody, boy, you put so much time in at work and so much time in at the church, it might be good for you to go home to your family for a little while. I've watched husbands, I've watched wives, I've watched children upset because they think, oh, Dad and Mom don't have any time for us, or my husband doesn't have any time for me, or my wife doesn't have any time for me. For some of you, you spend all your time at home and you never give God anything, and you probably need to get that right with God. But in other occasions, look, folks, you're not going to have a relationship with your family if you don't spend time with them. It's just like with God. If you don't spend time with God, you're not going to have a relationship with God. And if you don't spend time with your husband and your wife and your children and with mom and dad, it sooner or later, it will hinder you. Don't let that happen. So I think people will end up inactive by not walking with God personally. I think we can become inactive in our service to God because we don't handle our finances right. I think we can become inactive because our family relationships begin to suffer and there's a negativity at home and we're not getting along and we don't love each other like we should. And that's going to affect the church and that's going to affect your service to God. And it's important that you get along at home. Let me go on. Number four. I think there are people that don't serve God like they could or like they should, and I think some of it is just character weaknesses. Just character weaknesses. Let me tell you all something. This is about church service and this is about life in general. You need to learn how to get up in the morning. You need to learn how to get started. You need to learn how to work hard. You need to learn how to be productive. Everybody in here, you're going to have different duties and different responsibilities in life, but I should say to everybody in here, don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. You need to be a hard worker. So this thing of our character weaknesses, some of those things need to be cared for. If you're serving God, and your character weaknesses, if you're not attending to them, if you're not overcoming your weaknesses, and if you're letting them exist without attacking them and trying to overcome them, if you're not trying to better yourself, sooner or later those things will catch up to you. They're just going to catch up to you. Let me tell you, there's a weakness that really, really kind of rubs me the wrong way. It's people that just want to quit everything all the time. Just constantly. Can I tell you something? Quitting can become habitual. And you, listen, be careful that every time something doesn't go your way that you want to quit it. And I'm talking about at anything. At work, you don't want to quit everything that didn't go your way. And at home, and with your marriage, and down at the church. Life is full of struggles and challenges, and I don't think God intended for us to say, well, I just quit. The answer may not be to quit. The answer may learn to how to overcome and how to better yourself and how to work through that. But I've watched a lot of people that want to serve God because they don't attend to their weaknesses. They're not trying to fix their weaknesses. And the weaknesses in their own personal character, before long, what little they were doing for God, they're doing nothing because they're not attending to their weaknesses. I would say everybody in here, including myself, we all have some weaknesses we need to work on. Now, if I were you, I'd continue to work on those weaknesses. Because if you don't, those weaknesses, those character flaws may be the exact thing that causes you to cease serving God like you should. The next point is probably one of the biggest ones. Why do people stop serving God? Why do people get out of sync with their service to God? And why do people not keep serving God like they should? Well, one of the big reasons is because they don't work with people well. I would call it they have poor people skills. And to some degree, it would be poor communication skills. Let me explain something, folks. The ministry is all about God. We talked about that, your relationship with God, and then people. People. Now, let me tell you, if you are not working at developing your skill with people, sooner or later, your lack of skill with people is going to cost you. And you'll end up giving up on serving God. Now, you'll feel like every relationship while you're serving God, whether it's in the church or wherever, you'll feel like it gets raw. It's not good. I don't like it. I'm going to retract myself from it. You need to develop your skill with people. Let me tell you some things that will help you. You don't need to say everything that you're thinking. So that's just me. Well, you're a knucklehead then. I don't think God intended for anybody to say everything they're thinking. You've got to learn how to control yourself with people. There are right and wrong ways to handle people. And for some of you, if you don't learn the right ways, you won't serve God for long because the ministry is all about people. It's what you do. And somewhere along the way, you got to learn. You say, well, this is just what I am. Did you know something? We all started out at what we should not be, and we're to be growing into what we should become. So if you're not good with people, you need to learn it. You need to learn how to get along with people. Let me tell you, ushers, you won't usher for long if you can't get along with people. Nursery worker, you won't last long in the nursery if you can't get along with people. Bus workers, bus captains, if you can't get along with people, you won't last long. Children's church workers, you won't last long if you can't get along with people. I mean, most of you, even at work, you better learn some skill with people. You say, well, all those people around me, you just can't get along with any of them. You know what? The one common denominator in your statement was you. Learn to get along with people. And I'm not talking about not having convictions. I'm not talking about that. Did you know that you can stand for something and yet have a good attitude and there can be a graciousness about you? But some of you, boy, if somebody else is really easy to get along with, you feel like you're a success because you get along with them. But you might be the greatest challenge of their life. And you know, hey, in every group, and I don't even want you to think for a moment on this, but in every group, in every church, in every factory, in every family, there is somebody that's hard to get along with. Let me ask you, how do you do with the people that are hard to get along with? And we may be talking about you now, but how do you do with the ones that are hard to get along with? And folks, in a church, you've got multiple personalities and multiple levels of spirituality and everybody's got an opinion. Let me tell you, you won't serve God a long time if you don't learn how to get along with people. And you need to learn that, and we all need to learn that. I have watched people that get to serving God, but they end up with so much tension continually with people that they begin to retract because they can't handle all the tension, or everybody retracts from them. Hey, I certainly wouldn't want that because people is what ministry is all about. So for some of you, you need to work on your people skills. You need to learn how to talk to people. You need to learn how to respond to people. You need to learn to handle people and difficult situations. And so get some wisdom about yourself in regard to your relationships and with people. And I think you could last longer in your service to God. Let me give you a couple more and I'll be done. Next. I've watched a lot of people end up stop serving God and many times because of a lack of training. A lack of training. Believe it or not, we have Sunday school here, and Sunday school is a training time. And I have a Sunday school teachers meeting. There are some people that can't be in the Sunday school teachers meeting. They're maybe in other ministries around the church or if they're at work. But I'll tell you this, if you could be in the Sunday school teachers meeting, but you don't come to Sunday school teachers meeting, there's some training that you're not getting that you're one day probably going to wish you had. I've watched people, when God makes training available and people reject that training, those people don't succeed like they should and like they could. I think you parents believe that. If your third grader decides one day, I'm not going back to school, parents say, oh yes you are. Well, I don't want to. It really doesn't matter. You need to go to school. Why? There's something for you to learn. If you're going to succeed, you've got to go learn it. Now, let me tell you something, folks. God is training all of us, and there are some things that we might feel like, well, I don't want to learn that. God said, well, you need to learn that. But I don't care to learn that. Well, if you want to succeed, you need to learn it. You say, well, where am I going to get that training? In Sunday school? In Sunday morning church, and Sunday night church, and Wednesday night church, and in King's Kids, and in Flyers Club, and in Youth Ablaze, and in the meetings where we train, you know, bus workers. There's things that we teach in the bus ministry, and in the bus meeting, there are things that will be taught. I give all of our Sunday school teachers a book. It's an entire book that I wrote about how to succeed in Sunday school. There are people in here, I gave you that book, you've never read one word in it. You will limit yourself in success when you're given the opportunity to be trained and you reject that training. I think we all believe that about everybody else. But sometimes we don't believe it about ourselves. A lack of training will end up costing you sooner or later. You say, well, I've learned a lot in life, but folks, we're to be in a perpetual state of learning and growing as Christians. And I've met some fantastic people who stop serving God. And so you all know some. I know people better than me that don't serve God anymore. What happened? They knew more than me. They've done more than I had done. Something happened. Well, they stopped learning. And they stopped growing. And they stopped having a passion to serve God. And so they don't serve God anymore. Everybody in here knows somebody like that. You see, you need to keep your walk with God strong. Serve, get close to the God you serve. guard your finances and get a hold of yourself in the way you handle your finances. Keep your family as strong as you can. It's a unit that we use. Keep working on your character. Look right this way. Keep working on your weaknesses and your character flaws. Don't give up on those. Keep working on your ability to get along with people and what we would call your skill with people. Keep learning and allow yourself to be trained. There's more for you to do. And if you want to be used of God, you've got to get the training that it takes to succeed and to have victory in your Christian life. I'll give you one last thing and I'll be done. There are a lot of people that end up stop serving God because they just don't control their emotions. They just don't control their emotions. They have temper problems and they don't get it under control. Let me tell you something. You won't last long in the ministry if you don't control your temper. Now, could I tell you something? I think everybody ought to have a temper. I think a man that doesn't have a temper is a twerp. Man ought to have a temper, but a man ought to learn how to control his temper. But if you don't control your emotions, there's some of you in here, you say, well, I'm not really involved because it always doesn't turn out well. And that's and if you really admitted it, you'd say, I don't control my emotions well. That's why I'm not involved. That's why I don't do some of this and I don't get involved in that. There's some of you, you're just so easily offended. I mean, you gotta watch out. You just get offended way too easily. Now, I don't think anybody ought to be going around offending people. Some of you just need to toughen up a little bit emotionally. Or you won't last. You won't keep serving God. You'll be offended and you'll march off with your tail between your legs or angry because you were just so easily offended. So I think there are a lot of people that stop serving God because they just don't get their emotions under control. Some people just overreact to everything. Overreact to everything. They can turn a mountain into a molehill just like that. I'd recommend that you not be like that. If the sky's falling, let's get together and do something. But if it's not, it might be that you shouldn't get so bent out of shape about every little thing. If you're going to work in a church and around a church and in the ministry, you better get ready. You're going to face some really weird stuff. Say, what kind of stuff? People. People. And you're one of them. There's some of you can't forgive. You say you do, but you don't. You hold grudges. You don't get past it. Now, you won't serve God for a long time that way. That'll catch up to you. That'll eat at you. It'll eat away at you. Or some of you don't know how to apologize. You don't know how to say I was wrong and I'm sorry. You won't stay in the ministry long that way. Because you're going to be around people and you're going to make mistakes. You're going to misread things. But I have watched some people that had tremendous potential, but because they could not get their emotions under control, they didn't last long because they were unpredictable and they were so easily offended that they just didn't make it. Now, I'm finished, but let me say, in the passage of Scripture that I read to you, Barnabas, Saul or Paul, and John Mark were serving God. They went through a situation. Barnabas and Paul continued, and John Mark said, I quit. I'm going home. I don't know why he went home. I just know that he was important. He had a job. He should have kept going. But something caused him to get off track. These things that I've given you, and there are others, but it's just something I've watched a lot. I watch people busy serving God, but they're not close to the God that they serve. That won't last forever, folks. Sooner or later, you end up in a mess. People that don't learn to handle their money right and do right with their money, they end up in a mess. If you don't attend to your family and try to keep your personal relationships within your home strong, that'll cost you something. When you don't try to fix your own personal character flaws, they sooner or later will get the best of you. If you can't learn how to get along with people, If you won't get the training you need to succeed in the spiritual realm, you're not going to make it. And if you let your emotions get out of control, sooner or later, things are going to collapse around you. And you might even come to church. Because you can come in here and plunker down and sit and let somebody preach to you and get up and walk out. But I'm talking about people that are serving God. Involved, these things are things I just watch out for. Because I've watched a lot of great servants of God be tripped up by these seemingly simple things to where they don't serve God anymore. Let's not let it happen to us. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Christ as Savior, I want to welcome you to the Savior. You come, we'll take a Bible, and we'll show you how to be saved. If you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, boy, a couple of those, I'm already struggling with some of those. Hey, well, we all have some struggles. Maybe you need to decide tonight that you say, oh, well, I'm glad I caught myself that one right there. I'm guilty of that one, and I need to work on that one. Well, maybe that's the case. Maybe tonight you need to work toward keeping yourself close to the God that you serve. Maybe you need to glance at some of these things and just check up on yourself to make sure your service to God is going to continue in years to come. I would like all of us, we don't need to be famous. Let's just be faithful. Let's figure out what it's going to take to make it to the end and do it right. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I listened to what you said. I see some things that I could work on, maybe to help myself, so I stay faithful at serving my God. Would you raise your hand and let God see your hand? God bless you. And you can put your hand down. If you need a moment at this altar, I want you to come. Hey, if one or two or three of those apply to you, maybe you need to come down here and just tell God. Say, God, that one right there, I need to work on it. And Father, I'm going to be careful of that one. Those of you, some of you young preacher boys, and we got a handful of young preacher boys around here, I hope you're listening to me, because those things right there may drive you out of the ministry someday if you're not careful. We're going to have an altar call. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. You come and you talk to the Lord for a moment. Maybe you need to come and say, Father, I need to be really careful on this one here. I need to work on that one right there. And I'm going to tell you something. There are some people in here, you used to serve God a lot. But you got off track, didn't you? Was it one of these things? Do you need to get back in sync with God? You say, which one of those is most important? The first one. We serve God, but we're not close to the God that we serve. You need your Bible and you need your prayer time and you need a personal relationship with the God of the universe. He doesn't make it difficult. He wants to be close to you. That's the most important one. Staying close to the God that you serve. To me, it was a sad thing when I read Acts chapter 13, verse number 13, where it said, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. He stopped. He stopped that service. I want you to keep serving God faithfully. I want to keep serving God faithfully. I would speculate that if I end up ceasing to serve God in the future, that probably one of these things is what will cause it.